Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Monday night meeting. We want to let you all know, if you have opened this message from a digital source, you have joined a live teleconference meeting. So we'll have people calling in from all over the place. We'll give them a chance to get here and start in about 3 to 5 minutes. And in the meantime, while we're waiting for the words to begin, if you want to join us live, you can dial 605-475-2090 and enter your access code 373-363-pound on Monday nights and Friday nights at 8:30. So if you'd like to say hello and let us know you're here, now's a good time to do that.
Hello.
Hi there.
How are you?
Hello. Good evening. Hallelujah.
Hi.
Praise the Lord. He's on the throne. He's getting ready to stand up.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. You can't take this sitting down anymore, I'll tell you. Whew. But we need to get on our knees.
Amen. Okay.
Amen.
So
thank you, Father.
Amen. So who all did I hear? I know I heard Annette. I heard Antoinette. I heard, who did I hear?
Hi, Vicki.
Helen.
I heard Helen. I heard Judy.
Did you hear Mark?
Mark. God bless you.
Mark.
So glad you could make it. I heard
Mark
a male
and
voice.
Mark and Patty. We're both here.
So, praise the Lord. Thank you for being here.
Sure.
Anybody want to say hello so far?
I'm Miss Vicki and Mitch, head to Sarasota.
Okay. Thanks, Mitch. Thanks for your faith.
Thank you, too. Thank you. Thank you, guys, too, for all you do. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Good evening, everyone, from Steve and Cindy.
Thank you. I was just wondering where our Montana contingency is. Praise God. Okay. If California or Washington will get here now, we'll be coast to coast with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, let's see. Want to give them one more minute, babe? Why not? Okay. Any other friendly hellos before I mute your telephones? Please speak now. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and mute your telephone. What that means for anybody that's new on the line, it means that you will still be able to hear us, but if you're making any noise in your house or in your car or wherever you are, it will not interrupt clear lines for everyone to hear. After the message, I will open the lines or let you know how you can unmute your phone. Most of you already know that. And you'll be able to make comments or questions at that time. So just hang in here with us for a moment.
Well, good evening. Welcome.
Good evening.
My name is Phil Burdett. I'm here with my wife, Vicki. We're Freedom's Way Ministries. Our mission is to help you come into your true, full identity in Christ and enjoy all the benefits of kingdom living. And anything we can do in that area, we are glad to do. And one thing we do recommend is that you tune in on Monday nights and Friday nights, because these messages are dynamic and they will help you to enter into kingdom living in many ways. So anything we can do, we're available. I'm going to pray us in and get started on tonight's message. It's entitled Putting the Devil Under Your Feet. And we have been in this series. This is going to be part 6 tonight. So put your seatbelts on. You will be blessed. Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the anointing on your word. We thank you, Lord. We give you honor. We give you glory. We praise your holy name this evening. Lord, we are your people, and we ask for you to speak to us in an amazing way. And we thank you, Lord, that you have anointed this word to bless your people, help them grow up in you, and become more like you so they can enjoy the benefits of the kingdom. So thank you, Lord. We give you honor and glory tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we turn aside any unclean or unhealthy spirit that would try to blunt this message or distract in any way from God receiving the full benefit of what the Lord would have you receive. So thank you, Lord, that you're doing it. We give you honor and glory this evening in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
This series on putting the devil under your feet is continuing, and each week opens a new door and reveals a greater insight into our identity and the authority we carry. We hope you are getting as much out of these messages as we are. Often, when we've been walking with the Lord for some time, we get complacent in the comfort level of, you know, I already know that. I've heard that before. When we allow that attitude to prevail, we lose a hunger for learning and growing in the Word. So no matter how often you may have heard a certain scripture or story or passage, God is always ready to reveal something to you that you may have missed or forgotten along the way. It's always good to keep on pressing into the Word for greater understanding and insight. We will never possess what we don't pursue. Hallelujah. We've already established that sin doesn't just happen. It doesn't come out of nowhere, but is the manifestation of an evil spirit using a person to express its ugly self. If we are to deal effectively with sin in our lives and put the devil under our feet where he belongs, we must relate sin back to its source. For example, research by the Be In Health program has shown that 80% of all incurable diseases, there's actually a spiritual root, a sin issue in a person's life that has opened the door to allow the enemy to operate. So we need to talk about those sin issues and close those doors, not because we desire to put you under condemnation, but in order to help you exercise discernment and recover yourselves from the snare of the devil.
Amen.
2 Timothy 2:24-26. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will.
Wow, hallelujah. Thank you for your word, Lord. The subtitle of tonight's word is Satan's Legal Right and the Pattern of Sin. So there are basically 5 areas of sin that give Satan a legal right to our lives. We are not going to go into a deep study of each one, but we do want you to have knowledge of them. So let me just briefly tell you what they are. First, and these are in no particular order, by the way, they're all destructive. Associational sin. You might recall the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And she was subject to the same consequence as her husband. her husband, wives didn't have any say-so in those kind of business matters. So he was the one who actually committed the sin, and she covered for him out of love, and she ended up just as dead as he did. Generational sins. You know, these are things that we did not intentionally mean to have. As God gives the Ten Commandments to Moses, he reminds us that the sins of the fathers run through the bloodline. You'll see this in Exodus 20, verse 5. So we can be affected by sin simply by being born. You know, everybody's born a sinner, one who does not believe. Doctors recognize generational curses, only they refer to them as your medical history. The third category of these open doors of Satan's legal right is personal sin. Now, I would say it's unlikely that this category of open doors needs any explanation. We all know what we've done. We all know what we're doing. But it would be good to remember this. When you confessed that sin was not when God found out about it. Fourth category, witchcraft and incantation. There are many in the body of Christ who may not think that this can affect them because we're covered by the blood. And if you do think this way, you might want to realize anything that you do not recognize can be a danger to you. Basically, witchcraft is a controlling spirit. It works through rebellion, control, and manipulation. And it is far more prevalent in the body of Christ than you may think. It even comes through in our prayer rooms. Using God to change another person's actions or attitudes. For example, God, make Joe stop beating his wife. That is a witchcraft prayer. It opens the door for sin to work in your life because you are essentially using God. You're trying to control God to do something against someone's will. So the better way to pray that, of course, would be, Father, we just ask that you give Joe your love in his heart that he can come to the understanding of who he is. And love his wife. And the fifth category is word curses. Now, we've given this a category of its own, even though it presents itself in all of the other categories. Both angels and demons work to perform the words we speak. Angels listen for a word that agrees with God. Psalm 103. So they can be released to make it happen. Demons are alert to words that agree with Satan. So they can be busy themselves. They can busy themselves bringing evil into existence. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You'll find that Proverbs 18. So that should give us all pause to consider how we may be opening doors unaware. The goal is to put the devil under our feet, not to invite him in. As we mentioned, we aren't going to go into an in-depth study of each of these categories or open doors. But for now, we do want to talk about the area of personal sin and how we fall into it. Because if you know how you got there, you can get out again. So the first thing to realize is this. Temptation is not sin.
Amen. And there are three elements of temptation. As we saw in the garden and in the temptation of Jesus by Satan in the wilderness. These are the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. In the beginning, Eve did not think on her own to eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. She was tempted by the serpent to do so. There is one who tempts us, and it is not God. Matthew 4, 1 through 3. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." There is a progression that Satan and his demons use to tempt us and lead us into sin.
Let's look at that in James chapter 1, verses 12 to 15. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. Now that translates, perseveres through experiences of evil. Blessed is the man that perseveres through experiences of evil. So we can see that temptation comes first. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. You know, this is what Jesus endured. And he passed the test. And that tells us we can pass the test also. Let no man say, back to the scripture, let no man say when he is tempted, "I am tempted of God." For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. So clearly temptation is not from God. When we are tempted, we must recognize the temptation is from Satan's kingdom. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Here again, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And enticed, this word means beguiled. So temptation deceives us. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death.
Amen. From this passage in James, it is clear that the lusts of the eyes, the lusts of the flesh, and the pride of life leads us into agreement with Satan's temptation. When we agree with the unclean thought, we give the unclean spirit of lust a legal right to work in us to produce sin and ultimately death. It is the spirit of lust that conceives and brings forth sin, which progresses unto death if allowed to continue. It separates us from God, from ourselves and from others. It opens the door to other unclean spirits, creating curses of sin, sickness, poverty, and death. This is the pathway from the spiritual into the physical realm through the mind, will, emotions, and desires. These four elements of the soul are the strengths of men. Don't forget, any manifestation of an action or an attitude that is contrary to God is an expression of an evil spirit. Paul said in Romans 6 that you are a servant to whom you lend your members. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus tells us the parable of the sower, which is familiar to most of us. He points out that there are those who fall away when they are tempted because they are shallow rooted in the Word of God. That should tell us the first thing we need in order to be able to recognize the counterfeit is to know the real thing. We must know the glorified Christ. This is the one we serve, not the man. This is the one, Christ, the anointed one, who defeated Satan.
Thank you, Lord. Next, after temptation, comes lust. Lust is not necessarily a sexual spirit. So don't go there in your mind when we say spirit of lust. We don't mean anything sexually perverted in that phrase. The spirit of lust is a controlling spirit. So it's a part of the world of witchcraft spirits. It's a craving to control something that exalts us over others or exalts something else over God. If you want the best description of the difference between lust and love, here it is. Lust benefits self, sacrifice of others. Love benefits others at the sacrifice of self. Temptation comes first, but it is not sin. Temptation comes to us from a spirit of lust in the form of a thought. Remember, was it just last week we learned about where thoughts come from? Last week, week before. If you have missed any of these and you want to go back and catch them up, they are on our website, freedomswayministries.com, under audio teaching. So we already saw that thoughts come to us from three sources: the experience of man, the voice of God, and the hissing of Satan. It's up to each one of us to discern where every thought originates. When you do this, you can stop the progression of sin before it becomes sin. 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Enticement follows closely behind the spirit of lust. This is deception. This is beguilement. It's good to recognize the bait, the temptation, but we also need to know the trap. If you can recognize that trap, you know what's in it as bait. Being alert to the signs of a hidden snare is going to keep us from stepping into it and being captured. Amen?
Amen. Next in the progression of sin is its conception. Lust conceives and brings forth sin. The spirit of lust planted the seed of sin as a thought. Conception takes place when we join in agreement with the thought and begin to nurture it and water it and fertilize it. Jesus gives us a picture of this conception process in Matthew chapter 5. You'll find that in Matthew 5, verse 28. But I say unto you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Jesus knew, and so should we, that the conception of lust in our hearts is a forerunner of sin in our lives. When we dwell on a thought and decide we'd do it if we could get away with it, lust has conceived whether or not we actually commit the sin. There is now a spiritual root that needs to be dealt with before it springs up at another time. And the good news is that God is faithful to his word, and that gives us hope. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There has no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it.
Thank you. Hallelujah. So this tells us God will make a way for us to escape from temptation and not fall victim to sin. Pardon me. So where is that escape route? Where is it? Discernment. Discernment is where we turn the corner. recognizing that not every thought is our own, and not every thought, that thought that you had, is not just who I am. It's coming to me from another source. Again, the problem is in our hearts. We need to discern what doesn't belong there and get it out before it becomes an act of sin that ruins our lives. Proverbs 25:28. He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Well, you know, we were talking to a man just today that did not discern that thought about having an affair was not his thought. He didn't discern that. And he did it, and he lost his wife, his marriage, his home, his everything. Very, very sad. Discernment. It's not you. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Thank you, Lord.
The verse we read in 1 Corinthians 10 reminds us that we are tempted in the same way as others. Hebrews 4:15 tells us Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are. He went through the same things you and I go through, and even more. And it's comforting to know you're not alone. Other people have been where you are. They know what you're going through. They understand. It's comforting to know you have a loving Savior who's been there. Satan wants you to think you are the only one who has ever experienced what you're feeling, has ever had your particular problem. And if he can isolate you into hiding your problem, he can defeat you.
Ooh, you need to say that again.
If he can isolate you into hiding your problem, he can defeat you. Many Christians live under discipline. They know what not to do, so they restrain themselves from sinning as much as is possible. But these are generally miserable people who have not been delivered from the root of the problem, which is the spirit of sin in their hearts. So we're here to tell you that discipline without deliverance will not last long. And in the same way, deliverance without discipline. In the wrong way.
Yeah, you said the right thing.
Okay, then.
Discipline without deliverance is not going to last long, and in the same way, deliverance without discipline won't either.
It takes both. Once you expose the problem and kick it out of your life, you will have to fill that hole with the Holy Spirit of God. You must stay filled with the Word and the Spirit of the living God in order to stay free and live in joy.
Thank you, Lord. We have authority over every source of sin. We have complete and total authority. If you choose to live under discipline, which is what you can do by your own will and in your own strength, without using the authority of heaven to rid yourself of that spirit, you're going to have trouble. The spirits that you refuse to allow to manifest, they don't just automatically leave you. They know they have eternity. Even if it is certain to be tormenting to them, they know. As long as they can keep you defeated, they can hang around. So that spirit, even though you're not allowing it to manifest, it's still there. and it can turn inward and begin to attack your physical flesh. Ooh, what do you mean by that? Well, bitterness, for example, can create arthritis and other debilitating conditions. If you are in unforgiveness, you have bitterness in your heart, and you probably have arthritis in your body. Envy dries the bones. Your immune system is located in your bones. So if you are envious, have that bitterness going on, your immune system is compromised. That leaves you open to developing cancer and other equally destructive things. And then that spirit is joined at the hip, has cousins, they are joined at the hip, self-hatred, self-rejection. These work together to develop diabetes, muscular dystrophy, and other autoimmune diseases. Anger may create a stroke. Fear can cause a heart attack. Fear also is a root issue in almost all breathing problems, allergies, asthma, bronchitis, so on and so forth. Jesus died to give us authority over it all. But we have to pursue and take possession of our inheritance. And you need knowledge to do that. God said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. The Bible speaks of all these issues and connects the sin and the sickness. Authority over sin has to be appropriated into our lives, just as our salvation had to be. Think of it. You were not saved. Now, somebody's going to want to throw a lemon or a tomato or something, but hear me out. You were not saved because Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected. If that were true, every person would be born saved already. Now, don't misunderstand. If Jesus had not made that willing sacrifice on our behalf, none of us could ever have been saved. But our salvation came about because we did something. We believed. We believed in our hearts. We confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. We recognized the King, and we pressed into the kingdom. We invited him in. We opened our hearts, our lives to him. Each one of us had to individually appropriate the gift of eternal life. You are not a Christian because your family is a Christian and your grandma played the organ in the Baptist church. You're not a Christian because you go to church any more than you're a mechanic because you go take your car to a garage. Every one of us has to individually appropriate the gift of eternal life. Each one of us had to actively receive it to make it our own. You know, there are thousands of promises in the Bible, but they are going to remain promises until we choose to take the action to turn them into benefits.
Amen. You know, if your rich uncle named you a beneficiary of $1 million in his will, how would you get it? Well, first, of course, he had to die. Then someone would have to tell you about the will. Then you'd have to read it for yourself. Then you had to do something to move that money from your uncle's estate into your own bank account. You didn't just wake up one day a millionaire, at least not in experience. Oh, yes, the uncle died, and oh, yes, the money was there. Oh, yes, it belonged to you, but you had to take possession of it. We are learning how to take possession of the of the aspect of our salvation called deliverance from evil. Salvation has five aspects: preservation, healing, soundness, prosperity, and deliverance from evil. Many people only pick up on the first piece, their preservation. They're going to heaven, hallelujah. They leave the other parts of their inheritance on the table and end up ill, emotionally unstable, poor, and in bondage. Let's see what happened to Jesus.
Okay, I want to take you to Luke chapter 4, verses 13 to 15. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, notice Jesus did not yield to those temptations. When the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Oh, guess what that tells you? The devil's going to be back to tempt you again. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. So here is a key. When we successfully identify the temptation and refuse it, we will walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. That's what happens when you're walking in the Spirit. People notice. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. You can be released into your ministry calling, your ministry purpose, and people are going to respect you for it. Hallelujah.
These are the truths that open the kingdom of God to us right here in the earth, in our everyday circumstances. We need yet another key to use in this kingdom, the key of resisting temptations of the enemy. The key is called prayer.
Amen.
Luke 22:40 says, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. Luke 22:46, and he said unto them, why sleep you? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Your prayer life reveals your hunger for God as well as his power in your life. We are to pray without ceasing, in the spirit and in the understanding also. An effective prayer time is both continual and intentional. It is practicing the presence of God no matter what else we are doing. And it is time to, it is a time set aside daily just for the communication with our Father. When we are in the presence of our Heavenly Father, there is no doubt he can keep us safe from sin.
Amen. Pray that you enter not into temptation. You know, the times when we fall short, when we fail to recognize the thought we have is from the devil, this doesn't mean we're to beat ourselves up about it. We simply repent. I say simply. Sometimes it's difficult to admit that, but you have to. Repentance is key. We repent. We allow the Lord to pick us up again. Because you never fail unless you quit. I hope you heard that. As long as you're still in there, you have not failed. When you confess your sin is not when God finds out about it. But when you repent of it, it's when he restores you to righteousness in Christ and fellowship with the Godhead. According to Romans chapter 8, we have the power through Christ to overcome any and all sin in our lives. That's powerful. Furthermore, we're also directed to do that, to overcome it. We're not to whine and cry about it. We're not to make excuses or shovel the blame over onto somebody else. Well, if he hadn't done that, I wouldn't have done this. We're called to be overcomers, not blame shifters. Woo, hallelujah. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about, this means encircled by, so great a cloud of witnesses. People have asked about that. These are the ones who've died in faith before us. Many of them were martyrs. Seeing we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Lay aside means cast it off. Weight means burden or hindrance. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Remember, sin lieth at the door, and his desire is to have you. These are spirits on assignment that we have not recognized. We have not discerned that. So we're blaming ourselves and fighting ourselves and not our true enemy. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What joy did Jesus see beyond the cross?
The joy Jesus experienced was from an eternal vision, not a temporal misery. He saw you and me redeemed by his blood from the power of darkness. Actually, reading the word for ourselves, rather than depending on whatever we get from the Sunday service or occasional conference, is vital to realizing our full salvation package. As we appropriate what he did for us by learning to free ourselves from the snare of the devil, as we take knowledge of God and turn it into wisdom by applying it into our lives, we become the joy that was set before him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So before we close tonight, we want to share once again what Jesus taught regarding forgiveness, because unforgiveness is the number one block to healing. We know this word you are about to hear in a new way is of utmost importance to the Lord, because it is basically the very first thing Jesus taught his disciples after rising from the grave. It is truth that makes us free, truth that we receive, not truth we simply hear and let pass by.
Amen. Take hold of it. So before we read the scripture of our focus, let's do a little imagining. Think of yourself as being a follower of Jesus living in the same era as he did on the earth. You heard him personally. You heard him speak of his death and also of his resurrection. He said more than once that he would be killed and that on the third day he would rise again. You loved him. You listened to him. You saw the miracles he performed, the lives he changed. You felt his power. You walked with him wherever he went. He was there to change the world, to set you free from the oppression of Rome, to set the nation of Israel back into its proper place. He was the king of the Jews, and you were close to the king. It was easy to believe because you could see him and touch him and hear him. All your senses testified of his glory. But then the world stepped in and turned over all you thought would naturally happen. Yes, I mean, he did say he would be killed, but in reality, that wasn't something you even thought possible. Certainly not something you agreed with or could readily accept. You saw with your own eyes the cruelty of the crucifixion of your king. He was well and truly dead. Your hopes for the nation were shattered. Your belief that he could do anything and everything was shaken. On top of that, now everyone seemed to turn against you and the others who followed this man. The Jews, your brothers, now wanted to kill you. The Romans wanted to kill you. Great fear came into your heart. You banded with other Jesus followers to figure out what to do.
This is the backdrop of what you're about to read. Jesus has been crucified, and his followers are in fear and confusion. They're sheep without a shepherd. The discussion in the room was chaotic. Well, he said he was coming back, but we've been waiting and nothing is happening. It's been 3 days and he's not here. I'm scared. There's no place we can safely go. What are we going to do? There were a lot of questions and very few answers. But then, John 20:19-23, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive you the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Wow. Jesus appears. He didn't knock on the door, which was shut, and ask for it to be unlocked. No one was watching out the window and saw him approaching. My guess is that no one was even praying for him to come back to them. Suddenly, Jesus was in the room, and everyone could see him. Think of how awesome and how frightening that would have been. This man was dead. They all witnessed his bloody death and final burial place. So the first thing Jesus had to do was calm their fears and astonishment. Peace be unto you. When the silence of peace filled them, Jesus showed the evidence that, yes, it's really me. See the marks of death in my hands and the confirmation of it in my side. Now the room erupted in joyous celebration. And Jesus once again had to still them because he had something of vital importance to tell them. Once again, he spoke peace into the room and into their hearts. Jesus then breathed the Holy Spirit into them so that they could understand what he had to say. He then proceeded to give them and us an understanding of forgiveness and who it benefits. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them.
Let's look at that. This Greek word that is translated here, remit, it means to send back or to send away. This same word is translated in different places in the scripture as forgiveness, remission, liberty, freedom, and deliverance. Same Greek word. Jesus had many other things to say about forgiveness before his crucifixion, including a directive to forgive others continually, saying that if we don't forgive others their sins, our Father cannot forgive us of ours. But here, however, he shows us our authority in the spirit realm and the truth that our forgiveness of the one who offended me actually frees me and binds the other person to that sin.
Wow. He said when we remit or release that offense, the sin goes back to the one who committed it. As long as we hold the offense in our heart, the other person, the one who sinned against us, is free. We are actually bound to that person's sin. We must release it and the person who committed it by totally forgiving them. Not waiting until they apologize, not wanting them to suffer, not wanting them to know how bad they hurt us, not thinking if we forgive them they will be free and we want them to suffer, not considering how bad the offense was. Not justifying unforgiveness by believing if we forgive, they'll just do it again. All reasoning that holds unforgiveness in our hearts also holds us in bondage to that offense. The sin is now ours. We are separated from fellowship with God. Neither can God convict the one who committed the sin. We have bound it to ourselves through unforgiveness and bound God in heaven from bringing judgment on the evil and justice to his people. Jesus was telling us that our forgiveness to the ones who wronged us actually benefits us, not them. We are set free from their sins when we forgive them.
Lord.
The sin goes back to them. God is now free to convict them, and we are now restored back into fellowship with the Lord. Amen.
Amen. That should give everybody an easier time forgiving someone. To know it's not even for that person, it's for you. Praise God. So this is a good place to end off this week. Next week, we're going to go a little deeper. We're going to explain about separation. But for now and for the rest of this week, please take the time to examine your hearts. See if you may be holding a seed of bitterness through unforgiveness. If you have resentment, if you have a feeling of retaliation, if a certain person makes you feel angry or upset just to be around them, there's probably some bitterness there. If the Holy Spirit reveals any of this to you, take the time to repent to the Lord for holding on to another person's sin. You are actually preventing God from fixing it. Remit the sin. Let it go. Release that person. You'll be surprised how the Lord will restore clarity and favor into your life. You're going to have more peace. You're going to feel more joyful. And I would like to lead you in a prayer. Hopefully, we'll get done on time. We pray out loud because we want the angels to hear that we agree with God so they can come and minister to us. And we want the demons to hear that we break agreement with them so they don't make a fuss leaving. Amen?
Yeah.
So let's pray. Lord, thank you for revealing these areas.
Lord, thank you for revealing these areas.
Where Satan has a legal right to afflict me or my family.
Satan has a legal right to afflict me or my family.
Help me stay aware of those areas.
Stay aware of them.
So that I don't fall victim to the devil's devices.
So that I don't fall victim to the devil's devices.
Forgive me, Father, for any times that I open the door to the enemy.
Forgive me, Father, for the times when I open the door to the enemy.
Through my own personal sins.
My own personal sins.
Associational sins.
Associational.
Word curses.
Word.
Witchcraft or incantation.
Witchcraft or incantation.
Or through generational sins and iniquities.
Or through generational sins or iniquities.
That I failed to recognize.
Failed.
Help me forgive those who were used by the devil. To cause me to open these doors, Lord. So the doors can be completely and forever closed. Thank you, Lord, for showing me the difference between temptation and sin. And that temptation is not sin. I want to be fully capable of saying no. To the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. I break agreement now with every spirit of lust that would exalt itself against the knowledge of you, your love, your word. Forgive me for ever participating with that spirit. Forgive me for using control and manipulation on others. I break agreement with those spirits. Father, I declare I don't want them in my life. Give me a greater discernment to know which thoughts are not yours, so that I can cast them down right away. I can see in some ways I've been in self mode, disciplining myself in my own strength. Give me the courage to rest in you, Lord.
Courage to rest in you, Lord.
And to seek and receive deliverance.
Seek and receive deliverance.
From spirits that trip me up.
Spirits that trip me up.
Give me the motivation I need to pray without ceasing.
Pray without.
And to carve out a time every day to commune with you. And show me, Lord God, all the people I have not yet fully forgiven, those I've not released into your hand. I will repent to you, Father, for holding on to their sins against me. I break all agreement with unforgiveness, resentment, retaliation, anger, hatred, violence, and murder, including self-murder and murder with the tongue. I break agreement with bitterness, and I declare that the blood of Jesus frees me now from these abominations in my heart.
Frees me now from these abominations.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to sweep up a little bit in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth by the power of the Holy Spirit. I take the sword of the Spirit of God and I sever generational cords of iniquity and every evil soul tie that has held any of this in place in your life. I send back in the Spirit every ungodly thing that attached itself to you. I take back for you every godly thing you and it have. And I speak now to spirits of lust, control, manipulation. Loose them and let them go. You come up and out from every thought in their mind, every emotion in their heart, every cell in their bodies. I send you to the pit. That burning coal is following you and you cannot rise again. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of bitterness. I speak to unforgiveness, resentment, retaliation, anger, hatred, violence, and murder. Self-murder, murder with the tongue, murder in the mind, murder in the heart. Get up, get out, and go. Leave from every cell in their bodies. They broke agreement with you. You cannot stay. I send you all into the consuming fire of the living God, and I take the axe of the Holy Spirit to the root of the tree of bitterness in the name of Jesus Christ. I cut through that, and I pull that up and out of you now. And, Father, I ask that you fill your people in every place where these spirits have left them tonight. I ask that you fill them with every fruit of your Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, Lord God, faith, gentleness, goodness, meekness, self-control. Fill us all, Lord. Wash through us with your river of living water, with your purity and your power, that we can come into our true identity every day and in every way, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Hallelujah. Take a breath. Hallelujah. If you have a comment or a question tonight, you can push the *6 key on your telephone. That will unmute your phone. It will put you back into the conference line where you can be heard. *6. Anybody got something to say tonight? Hallelujah. We either put them all to sleep or we were very clear.
Hi, it's Marie.
Hi,
hello,
Marie.
It's Marie. Hi. Glad you sang to it. I sang too hard at church yesterday.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Praise God.
Hi, Vicki.
Yes, ma'am.
This is Helen. You said, yes, does anyone have anything to say? If I said all that I wanted to say, we'd be on for another 45 minutes. But do you remember a couple of weeks ago, I had some real questions. And anyway, I've been set free, and it's really been good. It's not just tonight, but tonight was a clincher, I think. The things that Gretchen had to say last Friday night. But anyway, after I made that confession to you, that I just had some questions, and that was about 3 weeks ago. And but anyway, thank you very much, you and Phil. And yeah, I guess you did the writing. So God bless. Have a
thank
good evening.
Thank you. God bless you.
Yeah,
when
bye-bye.
I grow up, I want to be you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody
yes, thank
else?
You, brother and sister. Thank you, brother and sister. Still taking it in. Still taking it in out here. Good stuff. Thank you for all the wonderful blessings. All the prayer, deep prayer there. Thank you, brother and sister. God bless.
Bless you, Mitch. Thank you. We're going to close out in just a minute. If anybody else has anything else to say, now's your chance. Okay, I'm going to turn it back over to Phil to seal this word.
Thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask that you seal it in our heart, Lord, that it bears fruit in our lives, in all that we say and do. Thank you for your freedom. Thank you for it, Lord. We honor you in it. Thank you, Lord. Seal it in our hearts. Thank you. And as Aaron the high priest blessed the children of Israel, in Numbers, the 6th chapter, I'm going to do the Aaronic benediction in Hebrew and in English. God bless you as you receive. Yivarechach Adonai Ve'yishmarecha Yisa Adonai Panav Eilecha Yifunecha Yisa Adonai Panav Eilecha V'yasem Lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you shalom, give you peace. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua in the name of Jesus. Is our Sar Shalom. our Prince of Peace. And we thank you, Lord, for your blessing. We thank you for your goodness. And I ask you, encamp your angels around your people this week in the God-filled, glorious week to your glory. And, Lord, just be with them in all they say and do. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. We give you honor and glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. We will be back here in the morning, 7:15, for the King's Table. Gretchen will be bringing this message again on Friday night. You're sure to hear something in a little different way. To seal what you've learned tonight, God bless you. As you rest, may the Lord bring you restoration. Good night.
Night, Brother Zipper. Good night.
Good night, Mitch.
Good night, everybody.
Woo-hoo.
Good night, everybody.
We love you all.
Good dreams.